time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Friday, August 16th, 2019. We have 18 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have northwest winds 10 to 15 knots with gusts as high as 20 knots, so it could be kind of breezy today on the water and on the beach. Wind waves from the northwest 3 feet high at 4 seconds apart, and west swells 3 feet at 16 seconds between wave crests. And today we're going to be talking a little bit about a subject I've touched on in the past. It's about the magnetic north pole of the Earth and how it is moving from one place to another somewhat rapidly now, to the point where scientists are having to adjust some standards that we go by when we use magnetic north. And we use magnetic north for a lot of things, especially mariners do. So we'll talk about that in just a minute. But first, let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We have 7 inbounders. We have 6 in our Astoria anchorages. And we have 5 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is the Tokyo Spirit. She's arriving from China, headed for the Astoria anchorage, and she'll probably be there by about 5:30 a.m. The American Endurance is arriving from Anacortes, headed for Portland. She is a petroleum tanker. She will pass Astoria maybe around 8:30 a.m. and arrive in Portland around 2:30 p.m. The Overseas Boston is another petroleum tanker arriving from Anacortes, headed for Portland. She will pass Astoria around 12:30 p.m. and arrive in Portland by about 6:30 in the evening. There's a tugboat coming in called the OSG Endurance. And she's arriving from Texas City, headed for Portland. And she will pass Astoria around 12:30 p.m. and arrive in Portland around 8:30 p.m. I'm not sure whether she has any kind of a barge with her or not. We'll have to see. The ATB Dublin C is an articulated tug and barge rig. She's arriving from Ferndale, headed for the Vancouver anchorage upriver, and she is carrying petroleum, refined petroleum. She'll pass Astoria around 3 p.m., and you might see her in Vancouver around 9 p.m. The Barrow Island is arriving from Vancouver, British Columbia, headed for Astoria's anchorage. She's going to ultimately head to the port of Portland to pick up soda ash, but she'll be in Astoria's anchorage by about 4:30 p.m. And the Pan Daisy is arriving from Japan, headed for the Astoria anchorage. She's going to the port of Portland to pick up potash eventually. She'll be in Astoria's anchorage by 10:30 p.m. In our Astoria anchorages, we have a ship leaving the Rice Island anchorage headed for Vancouver today. It's called the Little Prince, and she's headed for Portland, the Vancouver area rather, to the port of Vancouver to pick up wheat. She'll be leaving the anchorage around 1 a.m. and arriving in Vancouver by about 7 a.m. That leaves awaiting orders in the anchorages. Serenity C, the MSXT Athena, the Endurance SW, the Fortune Rainbow, and the Blessed Luck. The Blessed Luck and the Fortune Rainbow are in the Rice Island anchorage, a little bit upriver from Astoria. In our outbounders, we have the Emerald Strait leaving Vancouver's anchorage. She has potash on board from the port of Portland. Leaving around 10:30 a.m., she could pass Astoria outbound by about 4:30 p.m. The Ocean Souxis is leaving Longview from a lay berth there. A lay berth is sort of like a berth for rent, where a ship is not handling cargo. It may be there for administrative reasons, for changing crews, getting supplies. It's a place where a ship can go and dock when it's not transacting business related to cargo, usually. Leaving around 3:30 p.m. from there, could pass Astoria outbound around 7 p.m. The Buenaventura is leaving Longview from the Weyerhaeuser Salt Docks around 5 p.m. and could pass Astoria outbound maybe around 8:30. And the ATB Commitment is leaving Klatskanai. She has ethanol on board, leaving around 7 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 9:30 p.m. And the Poplar Arrow is leaving Portland from the port of Portland with soda ash on board, leaving around 10 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 6 a.m. on Saturday. Well, today we're going to be talking about the Earth's magnetic poles, particularly the North Pole. And I touched on this a little bit earlier in the year. Around in January or February, I think I talked about it a little bit, but it seems to have been an accelerating problem or issue, and I thought it'd be fun to talk about it. This is about the fact that our magnetic north pole on the Earth is moving from one place to another. Now, this is a little bit a matter of concern because we use magnetic north as a reference point for so many things. Now, Mariners certainly use it. If you've ever been on a ship, you know that all ships have compasses on board. And those compasses point to north, which is magnetic north. And so the compass is responding to a substance in the earth, iron, essentially, that the magnet is attracted, and the compass is attracted to that iron, and it points north. And that's because under the earth's crust, we know from school when we were kids that we learned that the earth's core is molten or liquid rock. And so way up in Canada, there is a liquid, kind of a big blob underneath the surface, for lack of a better term, that is liquid, and it moves as the earth spins, and it's magnetic. And so slowly it sort of creeps and sloshes around inside the earth, and it is moving from one place to another. So this is not necessarily something weird happening. It tends to happen slowly over time. Scientists track it. But it seems to have accelerated to the point where magnetic north is moving about 30 miles a year, which is a lot. So it's moving from the Canadian Arctic kind of toward Russia. And so why do we care about this? We care about this because of compasses, and also because of GPS. GPS uses magnetic north. So if magnetic north moves, that means that everybody's from NASA to your smartphone and mine uses GPS, and therefore magnetic north, to tell us where to go. So when you use Google Maps, you are essentially using a GPS system that is related to magnetic north. So this is kind of an interesting conundrum. If magnetic north is truly moving, scientists have to pay attention to it. If it moves enough, we'll have to recalibrate all these things so that we can still use them. So why is it so important for a ship? Being able to plot a course that is accurate across the water is very, very important. And so on board a ship, you have a compass that is tracking magnetic north, and people are doing calculations to translate that generally into true north or geographic north. So the difference between true north and magnetic north is that true north, geographic north, is the exact top of the earth, the North Pole that we think of when we think of Santa. But the magnetic North Pole is a bit away from that, because of that molten core that is that attracts our magnets that are in our compasses. So people who are plotting courses on ships for navigational purposes track something called variation. Variation is the degrees between a compass pointing to true north and a compass pointing to magnetic north. So this is all a lot of navigational stuff, but basically it becomes very, very important as a reference point to know where magnetic north is if you are on a ship going across the ocean where you don't have roads and you have to rely on invisible things to get you from one place to another. One of these very important invisible things is magnetic north. So this is not a catastrophe. It's not a failure of some kind. It's a natural phenomenon that just seems to be moving more quickly than usual. And so scientists are tracking it. And if it does get to be to the point where magnetic north is now somewhere over in Russia, scientists will just have to recalibrate magnetic north so that everything works right. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.